today we're starting a series we're calling Presence is Greater Than Presence. Presence is greater than, you have to look at the spelling to get it because it sounds the same. Presence is greater than presence. Oh, little shout out to Isaac for drumming on the first song. Yeah. Way to go. That motivates me, Doug. That does. That kind of seeing another generation come in, that motivates me big time. So I loved it. And he snuck out. So a lot of you probably didn't even know he was the one drumming, because then Nathan just picked right up, which we're always thankful for Nathan too. I don't want to leave him out. But, you know, I'm thankful for the whole team. Today, we're starting out the series Presence is Greater Than Presence with a message I'm calling Emmanuel. Emmanuel, one of my favorite Christmas songs that moved me deeply. O come, Emmanuel. And so, yes, that is the greater than sign. That is the greater than sign. That's not the less than sign, if you're asking. No. What's wrong? Oh, it can be spelled either way, actually. Yeah, it can be spelled both ways. Emmanuel can be spelled with an I or an E. So the first point I have for you as we talk about Emmanuel is, number one, God's long promise of I am with you. God's long promise of I am with you. I looked it up this week in preparation of the possibility that I might need to speak today. The phrase, I am with you, is found more than 28 times, I think, if I remember correctly, in the Bible. I found that very significant. Now, a couple of them were a person saying to another person, I am with you. The overwhelming majority of them is God saying, I am with you to someone. We're not going to cover them all today because it would take a couple of hours, but we're going to cover a few of them. The first one I want to look at is in Genesis 26, 23 through 25. When God is talking to Isaac, which is Abraham's son, you might remember. Abraham has passed away. Both of his sons, Isaac and Ishmael, have both come together to bury him. I find that significant in light of today's world. I find it significant. Isaac and Rebekah have had twins, but now a famine has hit, and so they're digging wells to try to find water, new sources of water. And the first two that Isaac digs get stolen by someone else. They're like, hey, no, that's our well. And he's like, we dug it. And they're like, no, I dug that a long time ago. So Isaac bowed out and said, okay, we'll go find another place. Now, in a famine, that's a big deal. He did that twice. And then he's getting a little frustrated, as most of us would be. And this is where we pick up a story in verse 23. From there, Isaac went to Beersheba. The Lord spoke to him that night and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Don't be afraid. I am with you. Very early in the Bible, Genesis 26. I am with you. And I will bless you. I will make your family great. I will do this because of my servant Abraham. So Isaac built an altar and he worshiped the Lord in that place. He set up camp there and his servants dug another well. I don't mean to change scripture, but that one they got to keep. Dug a well. I love that God says, listen, I see you. I see what you've done. I see how frustrating this is, but I am with you. And I love it that he says, I am with you and I have presence for you and I will bless you. You get presence and presence. Okay, now let's fast forward 530 years. That was fast, huh? And we have another event. The slaves are in, well, the Israelites are now slaves in Egypt. And then the whole burning bush thing happens. See the movie if you missed it. And God calls Moses to lead his people out of slavery. And we pick it up in verse 11. And this time God's talking to Moses. First Moses is talking to God, then God talks to Moses. But Moses, Exodus 3:11 and 12. But Moses said to God, I am not a great man. Have you ever said that to God? I'm not big enough for this task you've called me to. How can I be the one to go to Pharaoh and lead the Israelites out of Egypt? God said, you can do it because, what? I will be with you. You can do it. Listen, in 2024, I pray over you that God gives you a vision bigger than yourself. And I know that prayer. I understand that prayer. It's a costly prayer because at the beginning you're like, ah! It's overwhelming. It's scary sometimes, but that's what I pray for you, because in that place, when you come up against something that you can't handle, that's when you see God with you. That's when you really feel and know and hear and see God with you. You can do it because I will be with you. This will be the proof that I'm sending you. After you lead the people out of Egypt, you will come and worship me on this mountain. Whew, I love that. He goes, you want proof? You'll get it. Just not today. Between the now and the not yet, you know? He goes, one day you're going to stand on this mountain and worship me, and you're going to remember that I told you you could do it because I would be with you, and now you've done it. Oh, I love that. Now, let's fast forward 700 years. Sound effects, anybody? There we go. Okay, thanks. I'm really bad with sound effects. I kind of feel like it's a gender flaw. I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. My kids used to make so much fun of me if I tried to sound like a car when we were playing cars. They're like, no, Mom. Here we go. In this time, in this 700 years that just went by, the Israelites are out of slavery, but they've gone through repeated cycles of big sin, big trouble, big repentance, and a restart. And then big sin and big trouble and then repentance and then a restart for 700 years. Mm-hmm. Don't laugh. You and I might have done the same. Just saying. That's where we pick it up. In this case, God's long promise of I am with you comes from Isaiah 43, 1 and 2 and 5 through 7. And he's talking to the whole nation of Israel. I love that God talks to an individual, but he also talks to a whole nation. I really treasure that about God. He says this, Jacob, the Lord created you. Israel, he made you. And now he says, don't be afraid. I saved you. I named you. You are mine. Oh, I love that verse. When you have troubles, I am with you. I am so glad that we have a God who doesn't jump ship when we have troubles, even if they're troubles we made for ourselves. He goes, no, when you have troubles, I am with you. When you cross rivers, you will not be hurt. When you walk through fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not hurt you. So don't be afraid. And here's repeated again, because I am with you. I will gather your children and bring them to you. Yes. I will gather them from the east and from the west. I will tell the north, give my people to me. I will tell the south, don't keep my people in prison. Bring my sons and daughters to me from the faraway places. Bring to me all the people who are mine, the people who have my name. I made them for myself. I made them, and they are mine. So he's already told us, don't be afraid, I am with you. This mission that you think is too much for you, I'll be with you. Now, if you go through troubles, fires, waters, whatever the troubles look like, I am with you. And I am so with you, I'm going to bring people along who are supposed to be with you too. People you can mentor, people you can love as a father or a mother would love a child. I'm going to bring them along too because I am with you. So we've covered a lot of years already. Let's cover some more. Fast forward 300 years this time. Just found the sound effects, guys. Thanks. And this time, we're going to look at Jeremiah 42. And he's speaking to a group of terrified captives who were just rescued. It's kind of an interesting story because it's a mess in Israel. It's a mess. Some people have come in and killed a bunch of people, and then another guy came in and killed some people and then took some people captive, and then another guy came in and said, no, I'm going to fight you for them, and then he brought the captives, and then he prayed. He's like, Jeremiah, we need a word from the Lord, and I don't care if it's good or bad, just bring it. That's what he said. Look it up. Wow. Just, I need to hear from God. It doesn't matter what he says. I just need to hear it. Have you ever been there before? I'm like, God, you can say whatever you want. I just need to hear from you. Yeah, that's what he said. And this was part of God's response. Verse 11. Now you are afraid of the king of Babylon, but don't be afraid of him. Don't be afraid of the king of Babylon, says the Lord, because I am with you. Yes, it's better when we say it all together. Because I am with you. I will save you. I will rescue you. He will not get his hands on you. Yeah. So to a group of terrified captives who've just been rescued, it takes a little while to come out of the trauma of being a captive, you know? God says, don't be afraid of this king that wants to, he's threatened to come and get you. I got you. You're mine. I'm with you. About the same time period, well, first we have seen God's promise to Isaac, to Moses, to the nation of Israel, to a group of terrified captives just rescued. Now we see God speaking to land, literally the land of Israel. It's amazing to me. We see him speaking to the mountains of Israel. Okay, that's in Ezekiel 36, 8 through 10. We don't have to fast forward any time, though, because it's about the same time. 2 to 3 years, close. But mountains of Israel. Well, that's symbolic, Sandy. I don't think it is. It might be symbolic, but it's also physical. That's what I think. Look at what he says. But mountains of Israel, you will grow new trees and produce fruit for my people Israel. I saw the pomegranates there. My word. That's some fruit right there. Beautiful. Not like those shriveled up, gray looking things you get at the grocery store sometimes. I looked at them this week and I'm like, nah, not paying for those. That's nasty. I'll wait till they look a little bit better, you know. You will grow, mountains of Israel, you will grow new trees and produce fruit for my people Israel. My people will soon come back. I am with you, and I will help you. People will till your soil. He's still talking to the mountains. People will till your soil and plant seeds in you. There will be many people living on you. The whole family of Israel, all of them will live there. The cities will have people living in them. The destroyed places will be rebuilt. Isaac, Moses, the nation of Israel, the captives who've just been rescued, and now the physical mountains of Israel. God says, I am with you. For hundreds of years, hundreds, thousands of years, God has comforted his people with, I am with you. Really, from the beginning of time, we see a God who worked side by side with Adam in the garden. God said, hey, here's an animal. What do you want to name it? Like, how fun would that be? Adam and God working side by side in the garden. You see presence. You see presence. I am with you. And then a little later, after Eve comes along, or is created, I should say, we see God walking in the cool of the day, looking to have a conversation with his friends. That's what we see. Presence was always part of the picture from the very beginning. But you know what? It seems that just wasn't enough for God. Just wasn't enough. So point two, supernatural presence becomes physical presence. Matthew 1:18-23, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah happened. His mother Mary was engaged to marry Joseph, but before they married, he learned that she was expecting a baby. She was pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit. Mary's husband Joseph was a good man. He did not want to cause her public disgrace, so he planned to divorce her secretly. But after Joseph thought about this, an angel from the Lord came to him in a dream. The angel said, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to accept Mary to be your wife. The baby inside her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son. You will name him Jesus. Give him that name because he will save his people from their sins. Now, Matthew is talking here. All this happened to make clear the full meaning of what the Lord said through the prophet. The virgin will be pregnant and give birth to a son. They will name him Emmanuel. And you're like, wait, is his name Jesus or Emmanuel? I'm confused. You know what Emmanuel means, right? What? God is with us. Presence. God says, it's not enough. I've been telling you for a couple thousand years that I will be with you or that I am with you. Now I'm going to send my son in human form to show you I am with you. I am present. I am active. I am with you. But why did they say, you'll name him Jesus and they'll name him Emmanuel? I really think it means his name is Jesus, which means Yahweh is salvation. Okay? This shows what he came to do. Yahweh is salvation. This shows us what Jesus came to do. But when Matthew quotes Isaiah, I believe it means more. Jesus also would be known as, not just called Emmanuel, but known as Emmanuel, which means God with us. That shows how he will save us. Yahweh's salvation, what he's going to do. God is with us, how he's going to do it. That's what I think. I think our salvation is deeply tied to his presence. There's no extricating them from each other. Presence and salvation go hand in hand. I want us to have communion, corporate communion. So I want you to go pick it up quietly and just bring it back to your chair and hold on to it because I have some more I want to say about that. Thank you. take the bread and I want you to look at it while I talk for a moment. Just look at the bread, the cracker. And every time you look at this bread, I want you to remember, Emmanuel, God is with me. You see, the bread represents the body of Christ. Don't be afraid. I am with you. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. Task too big ahead. I'm with you. In captivity, I'm with you. Just came out of captivity and you're scared, I'm with you. You feel dried up, unable to produce fruit, unable to have a seed planted in you, I am with you. I am with you. This is the beauty, one of the many beauties of Jesus becoming flesh and living among us. Because he showed us what God looks like. In the flesh, he showed us. God, we thank you for this little cracker. We thank you that all it represents so much. It represents, I am healed. I am whole. I am with you. You are with me and I am with you. So we give thanks that you are Emmanuel. God is with us. And we take the bread together. Now look at the juice. Jesus. Yahweh is salvation. So when you take the bread, you remember God is with us. When you take the juice, you remember Yahweh is salvation. There is no other name by which man or woman or child can be saved but through Jesus. Let's drink the juice together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you are both Emmanuel and Jesus. We don't have to choose between one or the other. Thank you, God. Thank you for that. We celebrate that you are Emmanuel, God with us, but we also celebrate that Jesus, Yahweh, is our salvation. Thank you, God. Pray that you would seal that word in our heart, especially in the coming weeks when it's easy to get distracted by a lot of other stuff. I pray that that word will be so sealed and so cemented in our hearts and spirit that we will hear the whisper, Emmanuel, I am with you. We will hear whispered, Jesus, Yahweh is salvation. Many times in the coming weeks. In Jesus' name, amen. I really pray that in the coming times that you take communion, whether it's alone, at home, or here corporately, that you hear those words, Emmanuel, Jesus. Emmanuel, Jesus. You can get through anything if you know God's with you. Huh.